Because it's fight scenes, I wanted to know, have you ever been in a fight?
Outside of school, you know, I don't think I ever remember being in a proper fight. I've seen plenty of fights and been in the, I've been the observer and of fights, but no. Have you?
Yeah, I was in a fair few, because they wanted to beat the tan out of me. But the last fight I was in, I must have been about 17, and yeah, I lost that one. But, you know, in my defence, she was big for a 12-year-old.
You were 17?
Badum-tsh.
I'll use small words that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
What did you say?
You are a sad, strange little man.
Don't call me stupid.
Let's get started!
Hello and welcome to The Best Bits, a movie podcast where each week we pick our favourite scenes from randomly selected, weirdly specific themes. This is your co-host Kevin, a writer of one film. And I'm joined once again by my co-host of three films, two of which are Oscar nominated, Will Collins.
Glad you could join us!
Hello, how are you? That was, you know, you went off script, and when you said the two Oscar nominated thing, I went, what? Just at that moment of, what are you on about?
That's what I say every time I notice that, I'm like, what?
Ouch! Clean hit!
Because you went off script, and I was just going, that's not what I usually hear.
Stick to the script.
Kevin, hello. Lovely to be back again.
It's amazing. It's I don't know what I'm saying. It's good. It's good to chat to you again.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And this week, Kevin, you are going to talk about best fight scene.
Yeah. Everybody is kung fu fighting. And it's another massive category. And in order to be able to do it in any way, any justice, I had to sort of like eliminate some sort of subcategories. So I have immediately, right off the bat, I've ruled out battle scenes. So there's no like end game stuff or Lord of the Rings. There's nothing where it's army against army. That's all nixed. Because that can be in its own category, like, you know, best battle scene or whatever. I've also gotten rid of competition fights. Yeah. So, unfortunately, we're not going to get those 6 seconds of Karate Kid's high kicks. I'm not going to get into ninja stuff. I'm just going to stick with, like, hand-to-hand combat. Maybe some bladed edges here and there. But it's going to be, like, fisticuffs. That's the fight scenes that I'm going to be dealing with.
Handbags.
Yes, handbags at dawn.
Yeah, I honestly, when the topic popped up last week, I breathed a sigh of relief knowing that it wasn't going to come up for me because it's humongous. And simply looking at, you know, the collection of Jackie Chan films alone, like each film, you could pick a best fight scene from each one of his films almost.
She hit me with that Jackie Chan.
So I'm raring to go. I'm ready to box the head
off. How many Red Bull did you have?
Just because I want to be something.
Well, I was going to just like kick it off by firstly just asking, do you know who was the first actor to do a martial art on screen? The first Hollywood actor.
Oh, man. The first Hollywood actor to do a martial art on screen.
Yeah.
Was it? No. Okay. I haven't prepped this. Was
okay.
It? Sharon Tate.
Huh? Oh, I thought that was...
No.
I was immediately like going to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. No, it wasn't Sharon Tate. It was a Spencer Tracy in Bad Day at Black Rock.
Oh.
He sort of has one hand in his pocket and the other hand, he's like doing karate chops to disarm these guys which are hassling him in a diner. And it's ludicrous, but, you know, it counts as the first martial arts on screen from a Hollywood actor. So Spencer Tracy, of all people.
Wow. That's fascinating.
It is.
Pick up the pace!
Seeing as this is going to be fight scenes, and as I was saying, it's a massive topic, to cover everything, I was going to break them down into their own specific little subcategories.
Cool.
And I was going to go 12 rounds with you.
Oh.
And each round is going to be its own boat.
All right.
And just like you've got like welterweights and featherweights and heavyweights and stuff, we're going to start building up.
Yeah.
But in order to sort of give everybody their fair shake and to sort of try and touch on as many different cool fight scenes as possible.
Yeah.
I thought that I'd break them down that way. And the first one up,
round one,
is going to be goodness gracious gang fights.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you two films, and I want you to basically decide which one of these two should get that title of best gang fight. Oh. And the winner is going to face off against the title at the very end.
It's the battle of the century.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's basically winner takes all.
That's exciting.
But the two films that I have chosen are Anchorman, Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Uh-oh.
Here comes trouble.
Burgundy and the ladies went out for a little stroll, huh? Boys go out walking around and talking things through.
Keep a tight perimeter.
Yes, sirree. Well, well, well. Ron Burgundy and the Channel 4 news team.
And the Warriors.
The battle has begun.
The 1979 film from Walter Hill with a banging soundtrack.
Yeah.
That one feels like it's 3 a.m. at the taxi rank, you know, with your chicken sandwich, and everybody's just like kicking the heads out of each other to like get the taxi.
Right.
And it's got girls, it's got blood, fellas being flung against bathroom mirrors. It's just a melee. It's chaos ensues.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
So Anchorman, for those that don't know, and everyone knows, but it's a 2004 Adam McKay film. And the fight scene, the big gang fight scene in that, involves the different networks going head-to-head.
Come get a taste.
And they basically just go hell for leather, kicking shit out of each other for, like, bragging rights.
Let's do this.
You've got, like, 24 men going head-to-head, and they're firing tridents, and they're using bike locks, and they're setting
nets.
Guys on fire.
They're riding around with nets, and they're capturing guys and snaring them. It's proper Spartacus stuff. It's great.
It really is, and it escalates very quickly.
There's one rule: no touching of the hair and face.
Yeah. I think it's one of the best gang fights out there, unless you consider the Warriors.
Who will emerge victorious?
It's easy right now. It's Anchorman.
There it is!
Anchorman is so outrageous and it escalates so quickly and it's so hilarious. But yet the execution of it, they kind of execute it like Spartacus. And it's just so much fun. They just embraced it. And it has to be, for me, the Anchorman channel newsman epic.
Yeah, I stabbed a man in the heart.
I saw that. Brick killed a guy. Did you throw a trident?
Yeah, there were horses and a man on fire, and I killed a guy with a trident.
Brick, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. You should find yourself a safe house or a relative close by. Lay low for a while, because you're probably wanted for murder.
And there's the first hit! What's next?
Round two!
There's a lot of ways that a fight scene can begin. You've got, like, ambushes, you've got, like, face-offs, you've got, like, side quests, sort of, like, head-to-heads with henchmen. You've got the ultimate showdown with the big boss. But the one that I'm going for this category are like the sneak attacks. The ones where our hero gets jumped. And the two that I think sort of like best capture that feeling of, oh shit, are Eastern Promises from David Cronenberg.
You want to go for a drink?
It's Christmas. Everything's closed.
Sometimes if things are closed, you just open them up.
And it's the Turkish bathhouse sort of brawl that takes place with the two Chechen hitmen storm in where Viggo Mortensen's chauffeur has been set up. And basically, when he's at his most defenseless, when he's stark bollock naked, he has to defend himself.
The anxiety that scene induced in him. Because
shocking.
It's that sense of like, I'm anxious climbing out of a bath. And
in case anyone sees you?
I don't want to have any of my neighbours have insecurity about their bodies.
Perfect.
But you know what I mean? It felt really vulnerable for Viggo Mortensen because he was in his bare tippy toes and these lads are coming in with their big heavy boots and leather jackets.
Yeah.
And that knife, even that knife is menacing. It's a small little hooky knife that one of the assassins, hitmen comes in with. It's a brutal one. It's a brilliant fight scene.
Cronenberg loves his body horror and he really goes to town on it in that moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, fair play to Viggo Mortensen for just like going for it, because that couldn't have been an easy, you know, sequence to shoot in like a soundstage in England.
Jesus.
Incredible! I can't believe it!
So there's that one.
That's a good one.
But the challenger is haywire.
What will happen now?
And it's the fight between Michael Fassbender and Gina Carino in the Shelbourne Hotel. Where basically she walks in and she's playing a black ops operative who's been marked for death. And Fassbender is the one that's going to take her out. He jumps her. And what ensues is basically one of the most realistic, I think, girl versus guy fights. Mm-hmm. Where you really feel that she could kill him if she gets the upper hand. And it just feels like a really visceral, believable fight scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... I've only seen it once. And she... I remember having the feeling that, like, physically on the screen, she had... such physical presence because she obviously comes from that background.
The fight coordinator on that was JJ Perry, and he's also a fighter, and he was just saying that, like, she could knock any guy out hand or foot. That, you know, when he was able to choreograph those fights, and, you know, you had guys from The Matrix that were working on that as well, they were saying that she was really hitting Michael Fassbender, so he took an awful lot of punishment in that. But that's where the punches, they feel like they've got heft to them.
Mallory, you're in way over your head. Think this through. You've been out of control since you've arrived. You need to cut him.
Who will emerge victorious?
You put them up side by side. The Eastern Promises is the one that does it for me.
K.O.
Because of that sense of brutality.
The only thing about the Eastern Promises fight, which I think you can ding it on, is that nobody kicks him in the balls. That's what you want. You just want to have a swift kick straight into the nuts.
I don't know why assassins...
I suppose that would end it too quickly.
But why don't... Like, if I was going into any of these fights, the first thing I'd be going for is a swift kick into the nads, you know? That's... like,
you heard it here first.
That's the first, my first port of call.
No honor, no surrender.
Your rank just went down.
That's like, yeah, that would be, I'm just going, just try and kick him in the balls first of all. That doesn't work out. If you pull it off, the fight's over. But, you know.
If you pull what off?
Perfect!
So we're giving that one to Eastern Promises then.
Eastern Promises.
Okay. Now I'm going to do his teeth and cut off his fingers. You might want to leave it on.
Let's keep it up!
Round three!
Street Fight Smackdowns.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're thinking about street fights, you can't do any better than They Live.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Which was parodied by Soap Park.
Kaboom! Kaboom! You dirty motherfucker!
You know, the gas thing about that was that I only watched They Live for the first time in the last 6 months. And I had seen that cripple fight 15 years ago. And I always just thought that was hilarious on its own, not realizing that they were parodying They Live. But then when I saw They Live,
I think they go like a beat for beat. They don't change a thing.
But I think what happened to me was because I'd seen the cripple fight in South Park, and I saw They Live, and they're just ripping off South Park.
Come on, come on.
Motherfucker. So, but yeah, I saw that recently for the first time, and I feel it's one of those fights that you kind of had to have seen back in the day when it first
came out. But that's like a brawl, and that one does actually have people getting kneed in the balls. I think Keith David like knees Randy Roddy Piper like in the balls, but three times back to back.
Now did you say if there's ball damage done, that goes up in my. That goes up in my estimations a bit.
You just went up a rank!
And it's all just to get him to put on the glasses. Just put on the glasses. Yeah, and he's beating the shit out of him. He will not put on those fucking glasses.
Either put on these glasses or start eating that trash can.
All right, boys, break it up.
But that's the challenger.
Brace yourself for a major turn of events!
And in the blue corner, I have 2001's romantic comedy, Bridget Jones' Diary.
I'm almost ready to call this one.
Where Hugh Grant and Colin Firth have an all-out slap fight in the street where not a single blow is exchanged.
Okay, that's good.
The most realistic fight scene of all of those I'm going to mention tonight.
All right, Cleaver, outside.
I'm sorry? Outside? Should I bring my dueling pistols or my sword?
They do seem like two posh,
two dandy fops.
Twits. it's the handbags. It's the handbags fight. That's the fight that I probably would end up in if I ever was ever to get in one again.
The Bat Lady is about to sing.
Look, they live. Is might be old, but it's got a lot more. It's got a lot more fight in it than those two clowns at the end of Bridget Jones. So
I think, yeah, I think you just settled on it. It's got a lot more fight in it.
Yeah, yeah. So here it's Day Live. This round is a knockout for Day Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ultimate street fighter,
you dirty motherfucker.
And the battle continues.
Round four.
When I think about fights in movies, a lot of them, they tend to take place like in enclosed spaces. So you've got like stuff in stairwells and elevators. But the one that seems to pop up an awful lot are hallways. Yeah. And the two that I've gone with are The Raid. Pretty much the entire film takes place in corridors. And Old Boy, the Spike Lee film that stars Josh Brolin.
The only version of that film that anyone should watch.
No, it's the 2004 Old Boy by Chan Wook Park. The hammer fight, where he's basically just like battering shit out of people.
It's savage.
The fight is underway. Which of these two challengers will walk away a champion? Fight!
That Old Boy one, it's unbelievable. That scene is just so brutal. And there's a real sense that he should be dead. He should be dead. And you feel like he's not a Superman. But just when you think he's won, there's more come. And it's so brutal. And Ray kind of has a similar vibe where it feels like it's almost insurmountable there. The enemies he faces as well.
Yeah, The Raid. So it was made by Gareth Evans, who everybody knows at this stage. Like, he's a Welsh guy. But it's an Indonesian sort of fight film with Silat Martial Arts. And the star of that is Iko Uwais. And it basically just has him as like a SWAT officer who is doing a raid with his team in a high-rise tenement to take down sort of a gang lord. And everything goes wrong and they end up trapped. And Iko has to sort of fight his way out, going essentially corridor to corridor. And unfortunately for him, everyone in the building is basically a stuntman and a martial artist. So
coincidentally, it was just they randomly all rented the same apartments in this building. That's a class film. And I remember watching that in the cinema, and I remember kind of coming out going, feeling I was a little bit, everyone was raving about it, and I was a little bit exhausted by it because the fights went on so long.
There's a fight scene in it which takes about, I think it's like 7 minutes, and it's just two guys in a room just like punching each other. It does feel a little bit like a stunt reel.
But listen, if you were weighing them up, right, and if you're, that's what you're asking me to do, you're asking me to weigh up The Raid and Old Boy.
The world is holding its breath in anticipation! This is going to end in violence!
Honestly, would have to go with Old Boy.
Unbelievable!
There's so much. That film is such an overall a great film, but there's a sense in that scene where you feel, unlike the Jackie Chan films and all those other Hong Kong movies, that you feel like he's going to die. He's going to die. There's a real sense of dread. So I just think Old Boy by a country mile is the winner in that boat.
Oh! No!
No! No! No!
Round five.
I hope you're ready.
So we've had street fights. We've had gang fights. We've had fights in enclosed spaces. We've had sneak attacks. Hallway brawls, and now it's time for some good old-fashioned girl fights.
Right. Women beating the shit out of each other.
It is. It's the hold my earrings round. And first up, in the red corner, I chose crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
Oh, yes.
It's Michelle Yeoh versus Zhang Ziyi.
Yeah, that is.
And it's a really graceful sort of like a fight that takes place in the temple. It's almost like a ballet, the fight scenes in that film. But that is, Michelle Yeoh being one of the titans of martial arts movies, sort of facing off against a younger ingenue.
Yeah, and so Michelle Yeoh's weapons the Green Dragon keeps slicing through her weapons and stuff like that. It's a great scene. It's fantastic. And brilliantly shot and choreographed and edited and performed. It's fantastic. I love that one.
That film is just full of great fight scenes. In fact, I was reading about Roger Ebert saying that it was his favourite martial arts film that he'd seen.
Wow.
Up until that point.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And didn't it sweep the Oscars as well?
It got a load of nominations anyway. How many it actually claimed, I'm uncertain. But it's well executed. It's beautifully shot. The stunt performance is amazing.
Yeah, by the guy that did The Matrix as well. Yun Woo-ping. His credits include The Matrix. There's so much crossover between all these sort of like guys where they've all sort of had a hand, or they all know each other, whether they're stunt performers or they're, wire work guys. But and I suppose they were all operating at the peak at that time.
Imagine it's a small community.
But that's like in the red corner, and then in the blue corner.
What could possibly beat that? You can't come up with anything that'll beat that.
Brace yourself for a major turn of events!
The ultimate throwdown between two bad bitches. Aliens.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Oh, God. That's a rough one.
Looks like we can expect fireworks!
That's what I thought as well.
That's tough. Oh. You bitch. That's utterly epic.
So basically, the alien queen trained for 6 months to get into shape for that fight. Learned Krav Maga, and they ended up cutting a lot of it out of the film.
Is that the one where she actually broke her leg, so she ended up just doing a lot of handwork and stuff like that?
It is.
Break a leg doing that.
They had to use a stunt double, but you can kind of see it in some of the wide shots. I just thought that, there are some fight scenes that are, just perfection. They're like song and dance numbers.
Yeah.
Come on!
And then there are just, out-and-out brawls where the emotion of the movie is just coming to a head, and you are just, rooting just to smash this motherfucker's head in.
Yeah.
What a rush!
It's the culmination of, for her character, two films of complete and utter dread, and her life being taken away from her, and now she finally gets to not only face off against the thing that spawned her nightmares, but face off against her in a fucking mech suit.
Yeah.
I love the hydraulic sounds and the of her the feet of this loader. If I used to put them against each other, let's say on the plus column, I'm going for Crouching Tiger. It's not the climax of that narrative, whereas Aliens, it is the climax of that narrative. But in Aliens, it is very artificial in the sense that they're two giant puppets. One, Ellen's being controlled by a guy in the suit, and the other one's being puppeteered by cranes. And
that didn't stop me with sex scenes.
It's true. But if I had to go for that fight, I'm going to go for the incredible athleticism of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Gotcha!
K.O.
Game over, man. It's game over.
And Michelle Yeoh is popping up again in my next category, which is tag team throwdowns.
Round six.
And first up is Michelle Yeoh and Cynthia Rothrock in Yes, Madam.
Oh.
Which, for those that aren't particularly familiar with this one, it's a 1985 Hong Kong action film where Michelle Yeoh is a police inspector who teams up with Carrie Morris, who's an American, to get hold of a microfilm. And the film itself is particularly, ropey. The Hong Kong films of that era, they would get by on shoestring storylines. But the fight scenes, they went all out in. And the fight scene in this film between Cynthia Rothrock and Michelle Yeoh, where they're working side by side to take down this room full of henchmen, is unreal. Like the skill that's on display.
Let's see how good you ladies are. But now without your weapons. Get them.
Right!
I haven't seen it, Kevin.
Congratulations! Your rank just went down.
Oh.
All bets are off! Anything can happen now!
I'm going, what I'll do for this round is that you can pick who wins this round.
Well, I would pick that one.
You didn't do too bad. Well, you didn't do too bad yourself, Carrie. That is, apart from those two behind you.
Yeah, that's typical of women, always talking!
Why are you wasting your time in discussion? The ladies want to fight? Let's do it.
Yeah!
Ready?
Ha. Yeah, I'm as ready as you are.
Beautiful!
So I'm laying my cards at the table and say that would be my favourite tag team because it's just so sort of like jaw-dropping. But the one that I was going to throw in as the main challenger against this is Captain America Civil War. And it's where Steve Rogers and his best friend, the Winter Soldier, are fighting to save the Winter Soldier's life against Tony Stark. Because Tony Stark has just found out that the Winter Soldier killed his parents. And Steve has been trying to save his friend, who he knows is a good guy at heart, who's been brainwashed and is hurting. And it's just sort of like a moment where a best friend is standing by his friend who's done wrong. And he won't allow his other best friend to kill him. And aside from the, you know, all the pyrotechnics and the CGI stuff and all that kind of things, I just felt like, well, I'm kind of on Iron Man's side and I'm kind of on Steve Rogers' side. But to see the two guys basically fighting alongside each other to put down Iron Man, I just thought it was a cool little tag team moment.
Yeah.
Did you know? Yes.
I actually rewatched that scene today because I didn't think I was going to pick any Marvel scenes, but I made a note of that one because so many times people complain about those Marvel movies having this big kind of blah, kind of like CGI third acts or big, huge climaxes that really don't amount to anything. And in Civil War...
Quite a small one.
It's a small one. It's intimate and it's like everything kind of comes out. Everything kind of comes down to the crux of these three characters and the drama and their relationship, the complexity of the relationship basically feeds into this fight. And as you said, you don't know, you're siding with both sides.
This isn't going to change what happened. I don't care. He killed my mom.
I think the two Captain America sequels have a lot of my favorite scenes from all of the MCU films in terms of action.
And also, you were talking about confined fights, and of course, the confined fight in the elevator in Winter Soldier as well is fantastic, where Captain America realizes he's in a room full of his enemies, and he fights them. Like, yeah, it's a pretty cool scene as well.
They also have a great confined fight where all the Avengers are fighting each other in an enclosed warehouse that they've made out to look like an airport on a green screen.
And there's the
That's true, true fact there.
I understood that reference.
Round seven.
About seven, so we're over halfway.
How long will this go on?
I'm fired up. I'm feeling a little bit dizzy. I can't see out of my left eye, but Mickey's coming in with a secret blade and he's going to split me.
Get up, you son of a bitch! Mickey loves you.
You're delirious. You've had too many punches to the head. Okay, bout seven then.
Let's do it.
Ready, go!
Is you must be joking. And this is basically comedy fights, Hollywood comedy fights. And the first one that I chose is one that doesn't get enough love and it was a flop on release. If anyone out there hasn't seen it, they should definitely seek it out. But it's the Lonely Island's first film and it's Hot Rod. It's the fight scene where Hot Rod is going up against Ian McShane and they get into an all-out brawl and it's one of the funniest all-out fight scenes in modern comedies.
Well, well, well. Finally, a fight I might actually... Gotcha.
What the hell? Is that a throwing, sir?
It is very good. I this is one of those films I saw in the last couple of years, and it made me lament the fact that we have so few comedies these days. We saw a few good comedies, because when that film came out...
Why is that?
Because maybe the world's gone to shit and no one's got a sense of humor. No, everyone's afraid to laugh at things now. I think maybe it's something to do with that. I'm not really sure. But remember, there was a time once where you could just go to the cinema and pretty much confidently have a comedy available to you. And Hot Rod was one of those films that was just came out and went, and no one went to see it. But it was just one in a stream of comedies. And I saw it just a couple of years ago and I went, that is so delightfully silly. So just playfully silly and ridiculous and wonderful.
There's also that really funny moment where he's getting all his frustration in the woods and he's having sort of like a classic 80s moment where the soundtrack is getting to him and he's sort of like half dancing and he starts leaping all over the place until he basically loses his footing and you just hear, oh shit, and he tumbles down a mountain.
Shit!
He's going and going.
And it looks like they threw that stuntman really into it. Because that is not like a dummy.
Oh, it's so much fun.
But the challenger.
Pull out all the stops!
And that's Happy Gilmore.
Fantastic combo! These fighters are really evenly matched!
Where Adam Sandler is punching shit out of Bob Barker from The Price is Right.
All right, let's go. You like that, old man? You want a piece of me? I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing!
If you can't remember, it's basically Bob Barker's in his late 70s. And... And they're on a sort of a golf tournament where they're playing in partnership, and Adam Sandler keeps fucking up, and Bob Barker basically loses his rag, and get into an all out scrap, and yeah, it's real dad punching, but it's hilarious.
The price is wrong, bitch. I think you've had enough. No. Now you've had enough, bitch.
You know where my problem is?
What?
I have never found the Adam Sandler comedies that funny.
You should watch Uncut Gems. It's hilarious.
I've heard.
I was in bits laughing at that.
Okay, I will watch it.
Because he kept making all the wrong decisions. It was so funny. I don't know what was wrong with him. But, you know, he always plays those idiots, so.
Yeah, I know this is going to cause a lot of... ire and irritation amongst our listeners, but I am going with Hot Rod and Ian McShane and Andy Samberg. I prefer that film. It's funnier, and that scene is hilarious. And if you hadn't seen it, you have to see it. It's a great little film. Hot Rod. It's
cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool, cool.
Beans. Beans.
Cool.
Beans.
Cool, cool.
Beans.
Beans.
Cool.
Beans.
Cool, cool.
Beans.
Beans.
Cool.
Beans.
Cool.
Beans.
Cool beans.
Time marches on.
Round 8.
Okay. Tool up takedowns.
Oh shit.
This is basically where one guy grabs a weapon and defends himself. And the first up, you can't really get around the fact that Jackie Chan is one of the all-time greatest martial artists, but one of his most famous scenes is the one in Police Story 4, First Strike, where he basically grabs a stepladder and defends himself against a warehouse full of thugs using just a stepladder, and he gets himself into all types of scenarios with it. And it's fantastic. It's such a joy to watch.
Can you please tell me where your brother's hiding?
Why do you want him?
Because only your brother can prove I'm not a killer.
Let's beat him up first.
It's just absolutely incredible. It's not a small stepladder. It's a stepladder. It's about like a good 10 foot. So like he manages, like, honestly, I walk around my stepladder right now, and I feel it's going to kill me, right? So I'm afraid when I put it down and, like, you know, extend it out, I'm like going, this thing's going to... Jackie Chan literally is like Fred Astaire dancing with Ginger Rogers with this stepladder. And it's fantastic. I love that scene. It's brilliant.
Well, I wouldn't compare Ginger Rogers to a stepladder. I mean, she had a lot to do.
I'm saying... It's like what he does is like all of a sudden he's so graceful and he is so he's got such a genius in his limbs. He's able to make an inanimate object used to climb, elevate yourself, and climb and reach high places. An equally incredible dancer. So I don't know what possibly could compete against it.
Jason!
It's Bourne Identity, and it's Matt Damon using a pen to basically fight off the guy in the Parisian apartment.
I saw some behind-the-scenes footage of that scene, and they are going full at it. Like, you know, they're not just relying on... Quick editing to create the illusion it is choreographed.
That's one of the things which I didn't like about the sequels to the Bourne films was the shaky cam, where basically they'd have fights in the sequel where the guys would move out of shot, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't even know what's going on. You just sort of hear like the scuffle happening off screen. I much prefer the first one. Yeah. I think it's the best of the Bourne films.
And the gas thing about it was, I remember watching that first Bourne film, and it in itself has a handheld style. And I remember at the time thinking, oh, this is too handheld, I can't really follow the action. And you compare that to the later films, or compare that to what we're used to, you know, what really became the norm and the trend throughout the 2000s. And the first film is practically, feels like it's like been shot on a Steadicam by comparison to later fight scenes.
I just remember being so irritated by the second one when Matt Damon is looking at himself in the mirror and the camera is shaking the whole time as if like the guy is on roller skates in an earthquake. I'm like, what is going on? Why? What's all this false intensity you're bringing to the scene? It just felt like a bit forced.
Uh-huh. The cinematographer was just drinking way too much coffee. That's what the problem was with the camera operator.
Well, Irish coffees.
But Kevin, if you had to put the Jackie Chan police story 4 stepladder scene up against Bourne Identity magazine, the pen scene.
The fight is underway. Which of these two challengers will walk away a champion?
There's no question about it. Jackie Chan wins it hands down.
No one could have seen that coming.
It's just, choreography is amazing. It's just endlessly rewatchable. Like, you can just put on that scene and just smile and say, wow, what a talent. What an amazing accomplishment. So it's Jackie Chan by a country mile. Matt Damon is kicked out of the ring.
Out with a bang!
So there we go. Will doesn't like Matt Damon.
Really likes Jackie Chan.
Round 9.
It's a battle of endurance.
But do you like Keanu Reeves? Because bout 9, it's War Keanu.
Whoa! Oh, excellent.
And it's John Wick 3's antique shop fight, where, for me, this is the best fight sequence in all of the John Wick films. And it's John Wick running into an antique shop where they have glass cabinets all on either side of them that are filled with antique knives. And, of course, in come the henchmen, because he's always being swarmed by about 15 guys at once. And they're basically just smashing and grabbing as many knives as they can and flinging them at each other. And it sort of reminds me of like school fights you'd have where you're picking up stones and just whipping them at each other back and forth. And I just love the sort of the comedy of it, even though it's not done for like fast running. But you can tell that they're having a laugh.
Whoa, yeah!
And that was directed by, how do you say his name?
Chad Stahelski.
Yeah, so he was like Keanu Reeves' stunt double on like the Matrix films. It must have been an interesting sort of experience to have your stuntman directing you in the film. But he did a fucking brilliant job.
Whoa, that's for sure.
Whoa.
I'm so glad you picked that scene, because I actually thought the first one was great fun, the second one overcomplicated, and the third one kind of overcomplicated again. But I distinctly remember that scene. It had an ebb and flow to it, and yeah, the throwing stuff at each other was good crack. You know, it was a good little comedy beat. That's a damn good one. But Keanu has done a fair... I can imagine. I think I know where you're going with the next one. Yeah.
Well, it can only be Neo from The Matrix, and it is the one which I referenced in the musical episode where I said I listened to this music probably about 200 or 300 times when I was writing a script once, and it's The Chateau Fight.
Kill him.
Where Keanu is fighting five different martial artists in Mervingian's sort of palatial chateau.
I'm surprised, because if I was going with The Matrix, I would have gone with the subway scene, the subway fight. Maybe not for a fight scene, it's probably not as great. They're just jumping at each other with guns, aren't they? Or did they use fists in that? But that chateau one, yeah, it's really impressive. But the thing about it is, it wouldn't quite have the kind of the playfulness and fun. That second Matrix film was quite dry and humorless, if I remember correctly.
But the freeway chase and the chateau fight are absolute standouts. They're like just spectacular. You probably haven't seen it in a while, but if you go back to it, and it just begins with Neo stopping all the bullets and then the five guys coming at him. Like, they shot it for 3 weeks, just that sequence, and they prepped it for about 6 months. They built the whole set to basically be demolished.
Yeah.
And they brought in guys that were skilled in each of the weapons that they use, which they're sort of whipping them off the walls and sort of coming at them. And what I like about it is that usually in sort of kung fu films and sort of fight films, there'll be five guys sort of standing around while one guy is throwing the punches, and they're waiting for their moment to sort of jump in. But in this, they're basically all going at him at once, and he's like defending himself from all of them, from all angles. And it's just a spectacular sequence. But that also had, like, you had Keanu fighting David Leitch, who ended up co-directing the first John Wick film.
Oh.
You had martial artists who have worked on everything, like Brad Martin and Tiger Chen Wu and Usami Elam and Marcus Young. And these are like guys that, they may not be familiar to everybody, but within the sort of the realm of martial arts, they're legends within their own right. But it wasn't just those guys.
How long will this go on?
They also had like martial artists working all the wire work. So it wasn't like special effects guys where they're tugging on the wires and sort of trying to make the effect look good. These were basically trained martial artists that were handling everything. The film isn't that great, but that sequence to me is spectacular.
I'm getting the sense that you're really trying to make me go for the Matrix Reloaded scene.
No, you can pick whatever you want, but the winner is the chateau fight.
Whoa, 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 hold on.
Well, are you the judge in this particular bout? The terms that you set up at the beginning of the show is that I can choose the winner of each of these rounds.
But based on a split decision, you know, we can give it to points. And on points, I think the chateau fight takes it.
Well, since you have made such a convincing argument and are so desperate for the chateau fight to get through, I'm going with John Wick 3.
A devastating attack!
I also have a great clip, you see, of the chateau fight, and I want to use it.
Okay. No, we'll go with John Wick 3.
The pain!
Son of a bitch.
Neither one can get the upper hand.
I'm going with John Wick 3 because it sticks in my head. And I do not remember. All I remember about that shadow fight was him stopping the bullets. That was all I remember. I don't remember anything else.
That sounds like a you problem.
They're fighting to the bitter end.
See, it probably is. Yeah, it's for like those severe knocks on the head I get from my weekly fist fights with my Fight Club. You know,
where did that come from?
There.
I did want to talk about Fight Club on this podcast, but you know, rules are rules.
Yeah, you've ruled out competition fights.
There's a devastating attack coming up, no doubt about it!
No, because you don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's rule number one.
That's gotta hurt!
All right, Stewie, what's the first rule of Fight Club?
G-string underwear.
No, it's don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh, well, I really blew it.
Ba-dum.
Round 10.
This is You and Whose Army. And when I think about like the fight scenes that I saw in the cinema and just sort of blew me away and became almost a meme before there were memes, where the music alone just got used in commercials and animated films where they're parodying it, it just sort of got everywhere. It became bigger than the film itself. But it is Kill Bill, and it's when the bride goes up against the crazy 88s and she walks into Oren Ishii's palace and takes them all on.
It's the highlight of those of those two films, isn't it? It's the real highlight. It's fantastic.
But I just love those two films. In fact, reading the script to Kill Bill was one of the most pleasurable experiences I had when I was sort of learning how to screenwrite. That was one of the most fun reads I ever had, because it was all in one massive document. The two movies were in one at that stage. There was one big sequence that didn't make it into the film, but I remember sitting down one evening and just reading it for pleasure and just loving it.
That's the thing with his scripts, they are just fun documents to read. Like, I remember getting the copy of whatever Glorious Bastards was leaked early, and I remember just sitting down those first 20 pages. It was just like, you just didn't want, they're literal page turners, you just didn't want to stop reading them.
He's one of those few filmmakers though where I think I wonder what kind of a filmmaker he'd be if he didn't see films.
Wow.
Because he tends to recycle and reuse a lot of references from other films. And it's probably why Once Upon a Time in Hollywood feels his most personal, because it doesn't feel like it's referencing anything else.
I love this.
It just seems to be a love letter to Los Angeles of that era.
Yeah, there's a love,
but everything else, like,
it's lovely, you know. Yeah, there's a real, yeah, it does feel, there's a sense of aging, there's a sense of, yeah, there's a sense of place, but there's also a sense of time. There's a kind of a melancholy going on in that film, and I do love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
But the one that it's up against is one of the titans of martial arts, and he hasn't come up yet, but it's Tony Jaa, and it's The Protector from 2005. I think it's Warrior King over here, but it has, you know, when I talk about the chateau fight in The Matrix Reloaded, that sort of like staircase and all the different fighting that's going on, in The Protector, it's basically an uncut Steadicam shot where he bursts into, I think it's a hotel, or it's some sort of like complex. And he's running up a staircase, and he is taking everybody on. And he's a Thai boxer in reality, so his fighting style is a lot of like knees and kicks and clinches. But it's just like breathtaking to behold, because there's no edits. It's just, we're watching him demolish everyone that gets in his way.
Yeah, I actually watched that scene. I think I saw it when it first came out, but I did rewatch that scene, and it's unbelievable. It's, you know, all those stunt performers, what they did is amazing. And if you were to, if I were to weigh them up, like, yes, Kill Bill is stylish and entertaining and comedic and brutal and all those sort of stuff, but what Tony Jaa and the filmmakers achieved there, and the stunt people, is kind of a breathtaking. Really, it really is just. You don't have to be a gifted individual to pull that off.
The storyline itself is a little silly though, but it is sort of like in line with John Wick, where, you know, John Wick is avenging his dog, and in The Protector he wants his elephants back. So he's going after the gang that took them, the criminal gang. But, you know, I think there's spectacular skill on both sides.
I'm going with the Tony Jaa movie, because I saw I actually saw both those scenes today, and the one that kind of like blew me away, like, I know one's Tarantino, but the Tony Jaa one is just it's fantastic, it's spectacular, and I'm going with that one. Screw it.
There you go. Wrong again.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
Round
11.
Bring us home!
And this one is basically piss take fist fights and slapstick whip dick face crack head kicks.
What?
And it's side splitters. So, you know, womp womp, funny. Mm-hmm. Just like the title of this, it's hilarious. And I'll give you both of these at the same time, because there's not really much I can say about these other than they're just really funny, cartoonish, like kung fu films. And the first one is Kung Fu Hustle, which I saw in Sydney with audience that was mostly Asian Australians. And we were just in bits laughing at the cartoony sort of type of slapstick comedy where an unwitting criminal wants to join the gang that is basically racketeering and providing protection for this little tenement. And he's not very good at it. And little does he know that most of the people that live in the tenement are master martial artists in their own right.
Everyone.
Despite the fact that they're middle-aged barbers. And,
absolutely everyone.
And dowdy landladies.
The fat cow makes a lot of noise. I'm going to kill her. Watch this.
Who's throwing handles?
It's brilliant.
But it's such a silly, silly, silly film. And it has sort of great Lauren Hardy type comedy.
It's brilliant.
But
it's...
I just love that film. So that's Red Corner.
Yeah.
And in the Blue Corner, this is one that I can't really sum up too much.
Yeah.
Because I've only ever seen the scenes. I've never seen the whole film, but I've seen about 25 minutes of this film. But it's from 1991, and it's the story of Ricky. And it is so over the top and bombastic and slapsticky. And
grotesquely over the top, punching a hole through a guy and pulling a guy's heart out through his chest.
It gets shown around a lot. Like, I asked on Twitter for favourite fight scenes, and that came up again. And I was aware of it because it's been doing the rounds for years and years online. I've never seen the actual film.
Neither have I. I'm only basing it on clips, but for me, like, you know, there's no, like, Kung Fu Hustle is one of those delightful films that I was baffled at how it got made, because it's so silly, but it takes the silliness to a degree that is that you actually you get to the point where you actually admire what they've accomplished. And it's ridiculous, but then the fight scenes are audacious. Everyone's got like superhuman kung fu powers, and it's just so much fun. That film is fun from beginning to end. It's got to be Kung Fu Hustle. It's just so much fun. It's great crack, and you have to watch it if you haven't seen it.
Is this it? Is it the end?
Final round.
So,
this is it. The fight we've all been waiting for.
That was 11 rounds.
It all boils down to these last moments.
Gang fights, street fights, enclosed fights, tag teams, guys up against an army of thugs.
This bout will determine who is the strongest once and for all.
I really tried to sort of like cast a wide net and scoop up as many great fight scenes as I could.
It doesn't get any more intense than this.
But when it comes to my actual pick for the best bit,
only one champion walks away from this.
I think that my choice would win against all of the ones that you chose from each category. So this would have the best tag team, it would have the best tool-up scene, it would have the best gang fight, the best slapstick moment, have the best one man against an army scene. And it's probably the most influential martial arts film that's ever been made. It's from 1973, and it's Enter the Dragon.
Brilliant.
You deserve the praise, my friend.
How could it not be?
Okay, cool, great.
Which made a megastar out of Bruce Lee, and he never got to see what his impact was. Mm-hmm. It's the film that I think it's got great tulip scenes where Bruce Lee is using the nunchucks. It's him sort of like demolishing all of Han's henchmen in the lair. It's got a great tag team moment where he's teaming up with John Saxon. It really does feel like it has everything. But it's also like a film where all the guys that we'd spoken about in all these different categories, and some of the fight coordinates we didn't mention, but a lot of them sort of cross over where you're seeing the same guys popping up, sort of choreographing fight scenes in Haywire and John Wick 2 and The Matrix and what have you. But every single one of not only those stunt performers and those fight coordinators and those fighters in general, they would all look to Bruce Lee as being like the guy that basically kicked it all off and put martial arts on the map for good reason. Because for me, he's just like one of the ultimate movie stars, where he just burns off the screen, and I just love that film. It's such a it's such a kick-ass like action film.
You've made me want to go back and revisit that, because I think I've only seen it maybe once, like all the way through, and it kind of had the vibe of a of a Bond film.
Yeah.
But there's no question about it. There's, like, Bruce Lee's presence, his charisma is so magnetic. You just want to watch him. You just want, you can't, kind of can't take your eyes off of him.
He has that thing that I think that great movie stars have. And it's sort of gone from a lot of the recent sort of crop of actors that are A-listers today. And it's not aesthetic beauty, because there are a lot of great movie stars who aren't conventionally, you know, beautiful or handsome. You know, Gene Hackman is someone that you can't take your eyes off him, but it's not because he's, like, great to look at. He just has star charisma, and Bruce Lee has it as well. And I think quality that sort of makes a movie star is there's a sense of danger to them. There's not just a twinkle in their eyes. There's sort of a fire behind their eyes as well. And Bruce Lee just, he could be sitting in a room in a suit, barely moving. And you're like, oh, he's in charge. That's the guy. He just sort of like had that aura where he was just like bigger than the room that he was in.
To me, okay, to me, ultimately, martial art means honestly expressing yourself. Now, it is very difficult to do. I mean, it is easy for me to put on a show and be cocky and be flooded with a cocky feeling and then feel like pretty cool and all that. Or I can make all kinds of phony thing, you see what I mean? Blinded by it. Or I can show you some really fancy movement. But to express oneself honestly, not lying to oneself, and to express myself honestly, now, that, my friend, is very hard to do. And you have to train. You have to keep your reflexes so that when you want it, it's there. When you want to move, you're moving. And when you move, you are determined to move. Not taking one inch, not anything less than that. If I want to punch, I'm going to do it, man. And I'm going to do it, you see. So, I mean, so that is the type of thing you have to train yourself into it, to become one with the...
He is the best embodiment of a fighter.
It was the faces he made and the noises he made. He just was like... He was so entertaining to watch, because he just looked like he was so irritated, but he was also making a mockery out of the people that he was kicking the shit out of. But yeah, Enter the Dragon. Did you know that that also inspired, like, the Street Fighter games?
Enter the Dragon?
Even the bad guy in that, Han Vega in Street Fighter, has a lot of similarities of Han. Vega. Using the sort of the clawed hand and stuff.
Oh my god, I actually never clicked. Of course. Jesus, yeah, of course.
But Bruce Lee, it's a shame that he didn't live to sort of like see his own success. And it's a shame for us, because I think that there would have been many, many sequels to Enter the Dragon.
Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
There it is! It's all over, ladies and gentlemen!
So, Kevin.
We're back again to the wheel. Yeah. The wheel of death.
The wheel of death, man. I'm now in the... I hate this moment. Just spin it. Just spin it. Just knock it.
Okay,
for six.
Here go we
on.
Go.
Hit it.
And...
Hit it. Tell me what.
Spinning. Spinning.
Ahead of me.
Okay. Well, it's best mockumentary scene.
Oh, okay. Okay, mockumentary.
Best mock doc scene.
Do you know what? That suits me, because it's a very...
That's a lot of Christopher Guest
field.
Movies.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's a come down. That's a come down from fight scenes.
Oh,
okay.
I feel great. I feel actually looking forward to rewatching some of this.
I feel pummeled after that.
Knock for six. I'm knocked for six.
Okay, Will, so where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter under Willem's Film, and on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, which is the Best Bits Podcast on Facebook. Kevin, where can people find you?
I'm on OnlyFans, and you can find me there under... no, I'm kidding again. So what to do? No, I'm on Twitter at Kevin Lehan. And we also have a Twitter handle, which is at Best Bits Pod. And like we've gotten into the habit of doing now, if you like this podcast, just rate us and recommend us and share us with your friends. And it would be just doing us a great favor. And we'd love to hear from you as well. So if you want to get in touch, you can email us at bestbitspodcast@gmail.com. And we're happy to hear notes, because we're screenwriters and we can take
them.
We
just cry for about 5 hours. Come back and say, great, thanks for that.
Okay, so next week, best mockumentary scene.
Brilliant. Looking forward to it, Kevin. Bye. Thanks very much.
Episode 11, done.
That was a weird bye by me.
The Best Bits podcast is produced by Will and Kevin.
All audio clips and music heard in this episode is the intellectual property of the respective copyright holders and no infringement is intended.
If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff.
If you have any notes, comments, scene suggestions, or just want to get in touch with us, email us at bestbitspodcast@gmail.com.
Beautiful! Out with a bang!
And here is a clip from the lad's latest Mini Bits bonus show. The full episode, plus 100 more, are available on their Patreon.
Play dumb and stupid.
Two fun guys.
Two fun guys.
So what's the story, Kevin? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. You've got news. Tell us your news. Hello, everybody. This is Kevin, and I'm joined by Will, and this is Minibit 72, just in case we didn't say so. I wonder what theme tune I'll put at the beginning of this. I've recorded so many of them. I usually just take my pick when I go for the...
Right.
So I go for the egotistical one, or the epic one, or the 80s synthwave one, or the cowboy and western one. We'll see. Depends on the mood of this mini bits.
Okay, okay, okay. I'm looking forward to hearing which one it is. I'm curious because you said to me, you've got news.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, what fucking news do I have?
You nearly died during the week.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
That is pretty monumental.
There it is. There's me dying right there on mic. Yeah, I almost died. Yeah, I almost died.
Because of the Discord.
It was the Discord, yeah. It was the Discord's fault.
What happened? Tell me what happened.
Yeah.
Because we haven't actually spoken in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Since the Irish recording, the Irish episode recording, we haven't been on mic together. Do you want to talk about this? We can cut it out if you don't want to.
I don't want it to be at the front of, you know, the way we have this, you know, the tag.
We'll save that.
So I'll talk about it later. I'll talk about it later in the episode. You know, we can talk about something else, but I'm quite happy to put it later for our special people.
Okay. Well, listen, I saw these questions on TikTok during the last few weeks, and I thought, those are good questions. I'm going to make a note of them. I'm going to ask Will some of them. So I've got about five of them here. They're quite philosophical.
Okay.
And maybe if I ask you one as the teaser of this episode, and then we can pepper out the other one.
Right.
See how you get on.
Okay.
So give me from one to five, a number from one to five.
Go, let's go five. Let's go all five.
Question five. If you could, would you rather spend a day with your younger self or your older self? Take your time.
No.
It's live radio.
This is a Back to the Future question.
Right? Is it?
Am I talking to my older self and my older self going, hey kid, bet on the Sox?
Would you sooner meet up with your older self and get the wisdom of your older self to say to you what you probably need to hear now, which is get a shift on, get a wiggle on? Or would you sooner go back to your younger self and say, listen, that thing that you're worried about, or that thing that you don't do and you should have done, you know, give him a pointer or some sort of a steer. So it's whether you want
is
the steer
it work
or do you
out?
Want to give your younger self a steer. Forgetting about the ramifications and the consequences. Forget all the sort of the grandfather paradox. For those that don't know what the grandfather paradox is, go back to our time travel episode.
Yeah. All right. I think I'll go back to my younger self, right? And I'll say, you know, I'll ask my younger self, come here, what's the big worry? What are you worried about? And
you should know that.
What I'm
going
to ask.
You remember what you're worried about?
But the specific thing, because I worry about so many things. You know, we all worry about various different things, you know, from, you know.
Losing your Spider-Man shoes.
Yes.
I'm going to go, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because guess what?
Content.
Next week, you're going to have Batman. You're going to have Batman Willies.
Also,
right?
In the future, there's a thing called a podcast. And you'll be able to tell people what happened to your Spider-Man shoes on the podcast.
Exactly. It's all the bad shit that's happening to you will be, it's filling you up and it will be good content. That's all it is. All that embarrassing stuff that you do is going to be all right as long as you don't be too much of a prick and just stay the course. That's kind of it.
I'd be the opposite.
No, I think I would have a nice little sit down.
You'd have what? A nice shit?
I'd have a nice sit down and a nice little chat with myself. That's what I would do. How would you do? You're saying you would do the opposite.
I'd do the opposite. I'd want to speak to my future self because I can enact whatever they tell me. So I can, you know, live in the moment. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know, I'd like foresight. Tell me what is coming towards me or what I need to be aware of. And I will make the change now because I can. Going back to my younger self, I would just be unburdening my younger self. And then, I don't know, hoping that that would change the course of my life. But I'm very happy with my life. I think everything's turned out fantastic. So I wouldn't want to risk changing anything. So, yeah.
Honestly, that was my first thought as well. I was like, going, yeah, I want all the information my older self can give me. And but I was like, I'll go back and I'll kind of help my younger self out a little bit.
When you hit 65, your prostate is going to blow up like a basketball.
Yeah. I didn't want to talk to my older self because what if my oldest self is 37? You know, I only live, you know, another 2 years. Obviously by saying that I'm implying I'm 35 right now.
I was going to say, I was like getting confused there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I said I needed to put some clarity on that one. I would be afraid for my older self to come back and my older self go come back and I see the state of him and I go, oh shit, just one look at my older self and go, oh fuck no.
Listen, I just had the camera angled wrong there when I turned on the webcam here and that's already rattled me. I'm like, oh God.
You should never have the camera pointed at your balls, Kevin. Never, ever, ever, ever.
That's how I make a living. $5.99 a month. Well, listen, that'll do as a teaser.
Yes, go on.
Thank you to everybody that's listened to the latest episode, which we haven't recorded yet. And I hope it was a good episode because I have no fucking clue what I'm going to talk about on that episode. But we've already done it now because you've heard us talking about it. But also, this might be one of the random episodes. So this is the Patreon. We do the mini bits. Come along. They're great episodes. We're going to keep talking, though. See ya.
Fuck them. Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that.
Bye.